Et voilà.
Jai Guru.
Jai Guru, Jai Guru.
Jai Guru. It's funny because I just got back from a celebration. A friend of mine was celebrating 10 years, and I was driving another friend home, and she kept saying, like, oh, you know, I don't want you to be late for that thing you do, and you have to prepare or whatever. And I kind of laughed and to myself, of course, but I thought, if I had to prepare for this, I should not do this. You know, it's like, let me prepare to, or go meditate for an hour or do something so that we can come here and ask questions. No. I didn't say that to her because, of course, but that was a thought that came. I was like, if you have to prepare for any of these Tuesday talks, that's when you should stop immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Andrew's back. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Good. I went to France
Oh, very nice.
for
Oh,
that
cool.
gathering. This was really good.
Excellent.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I spent a few weeks there actually, so it's
Very
good.
good. And you were able to get around. I know you had thought about you would it might have trouble getting around or whatever, but you were able to get around fine.
The joke is that I went. I went in a wheelchair. They have the accessibility desk for United Airlines. They provide you with a wheelchair and a guy who pushes you around.
Oh,
And
wow.
I got priority treatment. I got through customs before anyone else.
Oh.
A guy in Chicago told me, who was pushing me in the wheelchair, a young guy, he said, "You guys get the best priority treatment in the whole airport." So it was really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It
Very
was really great. Yeah,
good.
really good.
Very
Good.
good. And see, master guiding and taking care of and protecting, only at home thinking about all the troubling things that might occur. And in the moment, all is as well.
Yeah. I just read a little quote from Das Boot: "Heaven and hell are in the mind."
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you have to be identified as a separate individual. So it's in the mind, heaven or hell, where am I going? But you are everything. There's nowhere for you to go. But if you think about heaven and hell, then of course you've individualized and said how my soul is, or how this beingness that I'm this being, but beingness is beingness. But to say it's like my beingness that's going to hell or heaven,
Correct.
then there's the concept of individuality, and then comes in, oh, all the good things I've done, all the sins I've done, and all this. But that's not the dream character.
No, it really becomes a problem then.
Yeah, with
Yeah.
identification, you know, you see,
Yeah.
like I've visited some friends as they're like kind of checking out, so to speak. And there are some people who are very terrified about that because they truly believe in this concept that, like, I'm gone. Or worse, identification that I'm going to die and I hope my soul winds up in a good place. You know? And this is a lot of trauma. If you are sitting there and knowing yourself in a real sense, this will not occur. You would easily be able to just sit there with yourself, just die, just die, just die. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Okay, everything is okay. Like Maharaj, how I heard that he left the body. Everybody had gathered around, and then it was just like one moment, and then the next moment not. But it was no, you know, like, uh-oh. Because, like Maharaj says, on your deathbed is not a time to look for spirituality, to be like, okay, I'm dying, and now I need to find that part of myself that's immortal because I'm scared to death of death.
Searching for that special quote.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, hey, Keith, you're back too. Hello, hello. I know you had a couple of troubles of coming in and out of the meeting. I'm going to ask to unmute. I don't know. Oh, maybe you're not actually here. Oh, you're here. No, you're not. I don't know. All right. And Samati, hello. You're here too. Jaguru.
Namaste, Jai Guru.
So tell us about your adventure.
Well, it was a they have what they call the Samta. It's a 3-day gathering. It's the Holy Thursday of every year. It's a national holiday in France, and I think it's the case in all of Europe. I'm not sure, at least some parts of Europe. So it's a Thursday. It begins on Thursday and it ends on Saturday, with the so you basically it's a, you're singing the bhajans. You do the early morning bhajan on your own. You do the morning puja. Then you do the afternoon bhajan and the night bhajan together. So basically, it's just a festivity of singing bhajans, basically, with meals served in between. People cook different dishes. And a lot of the people create garlands. They make flower garlands for the photos of Ranjit Maharaj and Siddharameshwara Maharaj and Balsam Maharaj. And there was also a young guy from France. His name is William, who's a disciple of Ramakant Maharaj, and he was there. And he's actually doing translations for, what is her name? Anne Shaw, I think her name is, the lady that helped compile
Yep.
Selfless Self.
Yeah, Anne
Yeah,
Shaw.
well, he's doing translations for her, actually in French into French. So,
Oh, good.
but it was really great. And so then, once that was over, I stayed with John Norwell and Laurence Ladodier. She is the those two are kind of like they're the ones who organized it primarily. Everyone else participated, but they do it. The gathering at Laurence's house in Brittany, which is right on the coast, and a very windy, rainy place,
Oh
kind of like
wow. Okay.
the coast of Maine, kind of. And
Okay.
yeah, so basically, staying with them was good because they are working on the Das Boot, actually. They're going to publish the first 9 chapters. And it's incredible the work that John Norwell has done over the years. He's been at this for over 20 years now, and his understanding of Marathi is really deep, and also his working on the translation. So I got to sit with them every day while they worked on the book for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So that was good. And then the rest of the time was myself meditating and walking around. We went to a medieval village, and we had crepes, which is a French specialty. And so, yeah, it was really good. I
Those are
was
like
really
the
happy.
really, really thin pancakes that are stuffed with like cheeses or fruits or
She,
something.
yeah, you can get savory or sweet. And they also have apple. It's an apple cider with alcohol in it, which I don't drink. I can't drink alcohol, but they had that with them in this medieval village. It was a village that was actually built in the 1300s. It's
Oh, wow.
very, very old. So, it's like a, now it's a tourist center. So, sort of walked around there and bought different things and so forth. So it was really good, really good. But
Sounds
yeah.
good.
But I spoke with William a bit, with about Ramakant Maharaj and his work with Anne Shaw. He's a very nice guy, real young guy. But he said he wished there was something like that for Ramakant Maharaj. But I, like they had himself, plus they had other disciples in the Saggadatta Maharaj and also Ranjit Maharaj. So really, it's becoming more of a like a lineage celebration.
Yeah, good. As it should, instead of celebrating individual that we say, oh, this is the guru or whatever, it's the lineage, which is the presence and all the different bodies that the presence spoke through and brought people into the understanding of your own self. Yeah, it's very good.
So it's becoming, it's like a real lineage celebration, actually. So it's really nice. So they do it every year. And they had
Cool.
people from all over Europe that attended. So I was the only American there.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
But it was really nice to see how the master takes care of you. Like making that journey, people were always there to offer support. As soon as when I arrived in Paris, this fellow Bruno met me at the airport, took me on the train, and then people were there, someone to pick me up. Then, when I was returned, I stayed in Paris. Other disciple met me at the train station, and we went on the subway to his place, and I stayed there overnight. Then he brought me to the airport the following morning. So it was really just a real testimony to how, when you put yourself out, when you take that step, the master is there to support you. Like I know Ramakant would say, for instance, you take one step, and the master will take two steps for you. So
Exactly.
it's like that,
Exactly.
yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful experience when you're surrendered and you're sort of out of yourself and allowing others, so to speak, to help you. You see how Master, through the various forms, is just guiding your journey just so beautifully. And you literally just kind of, well, in your case, in the wheelchair or whatever, you just relax into it. And you're not trying to make anything happen or do anything. There's no you there. And the surrender is just quite natural. And then afterwards, you can look back and say, like, wow, that was really amazing. Like you said, Master was just guiding you right there.
You put it together very nicely.
It's a my experience coming to India was exactly as I was going through customs. I was like, okay, I'm going through this customs and it was knowing that Master and even the lost luggage and all of that, it's like Master is bringing everything. There was no thought of, uh-oh, my luggage is gone because I took too long in this line and I'm never going to find Maharaj and all this. It was just like it flowed just very nicely. And that's a beautiful experience. And truly, that's our experience every single day when we're not trying to give it to mind on how it should be. It's how it is, and how it is exactly perfect. It's only the identification with the flow of thoughts of, like I just said, oh my God, my bags are lost or this or that, instead of just in the moment, even if you're starting to get confused, okay, Master, what to do next? And then it just happens. Okay, here I am. I have complete trust and faith that my master will take the form that is needed in the moment to proceed with this journey. I need do nothing because there's no deed, no doer. The one doer is going to manifest in all these various forms to have everything beautifully happen, just as in a dream. You're not trying to guide all the people and make sure that, like, if you start dreaming and you're in a park, you're not trying to dictate how everything is going or trying to put yourself there. There's no, like, real, even though in the dream you're identified with a body form, there's no, like, it's just a dream. It's just spontaneous actions in the moment. There's not even really the ability, although you could say you're identified with a dream body, but the egoistic sense of self can't really develop strongly because you see this. You're not having to control. You're not having to move things around. And that's the reality. It's like you're formless, and then you take a form to try and make something happen in the form-based reality, and then cry when it's not happening your way. But if you remain formless, all of the forms are appearing and disappearing and moving about within you. So you don't have this problem. So just remain with yourself.
Right.
Listen. It's very warm here. I don't know how it is in all of your places, but it's very warm in my area. Record-breaking heat. Seems like in India at the ashram, it was warm, but it wasn't that sticky warm. It was like it was hot. But the fan would like kind of blow, and yeah, it was hot. Yeah, you'd sweat, but it wasn't like this thickness in the air.
The humidity, yeah, it's very humid.
Very much so, yes. But it's five elemental body, and while holding this five elemental body, it will be affected by the five elements. And the five elements just do whatever the hell they feel like doing, really. They're just, it's like,
Really?
can't stop the wind, nor can you say, oh, I need wind right now. Keith, you're quiet. I'm guessing your microphone is not working.
Oh, well, it wasn't at first, but I did get it working.
Okay.
don't know why it didn't come on automatically, and then it said was recording, and for some, I don't know. Anyway, I didn't until I clicked on where it said it was recording. It wasn't allowing me to unmute.
Okay. Yeah, no, I said in the beginning, like I know you had emailed and said you had gotten the dates and then you were having a hard time getting on. So I'm glad to see you here.
So this stuff still keeps deepening in me. It gets more and more, I don't know, I could call it powerful or whatever, the sense of presence. And so yesterday, a lot of times I wake up and I'll get this, the first flash, like that comes to my mind, or one of the first flashes, or tell me something, and then if I follow that, what the word, it's almost like it was represented in words. Like yesterday was, I'm glad to be unknown. That was the words that came to me, and then I've kind of like followed that, and it just kept getting deeper and deeper into, and I just had a fantastic, great feel, the best feeling day I've had, where I was starting to recognize more of the stuff you talk about all sense and relative experience being within me. And I could almost see where bodies were like forming out of that they weren't really what was present. Somehow bodies are not what is really present. And I was like,
Sridhar Maharaj talks about that as if you view the space, like if you're looking out, instead our eyes, because of using this body and identification with the flow of thoughts, you look at a person and then you're starting to like see this, but instead pay attention to the space between. That's how Sridhar Maharaj describes what you're describing, is like the formlessness. You understand that the bodies are appearing within you. And if you look like from here to outside to a tree or whatever, instead of objectifying and going immediately subject object to tree, you pay attention to the space, because there's no ability to really do subject object space. And even if you somehow are able to identify subject object space, it's much more subtle than subject tree. Object. And first thing in the morning, the most beautiful thing I remember in the earliest times of waking up, and that's mantra. Like I'm waking up, I'm kind of alarms going off. Okay, send the alarm away, do that, and then just, because now you're sort of coming into the concept of I'm awake, I'm waking up. So use that brief moment of identification to concentrate on mantra. And then mantra slowly will erase any of the thoughts that might have been accumulating that your awareness may have paid attention to as something important. And if you can continue even better, getting out of bed, brushing teeth, mantra. Making coffee, mantra. Getting ready for work, mantra. Going out the door, mantra. Getting in your car, oh, look, traffic, perfect time for mantra. Matter of fact, thank you, Master, for creating this moment where I can remain with my selfless self instead of going outside, because I know you presented this traffic in such a way so that you told me, don't focus on the outside, remain with your selfless self. Don't give yourself away for some silly traffic jam. Remain with yourself and observe how the traffic just begins to move quite naturally. And Nisargadatta Maharaj spoke about when, I think it was Maurice Friedman had a friend who visited him in the ashram, and there were like a lot of noise and all this sort of stuff going on. And the guy was like, oh, I had a terrible sleep. It was so noisy and this and that. And Maurice was like, oh, I didn't experience this. And it's because of that same thing. If I'm experiencing traffic, or if I'm experiencing waiting, or if I'm experiencing any of these things, it's because I've created an experiencer by identifying with the body in the moment. And mantra will shake that up. It's like there's a hook on the wall, and mantra is like slowly erasing the hook. So the hat might have hung, but now mantra is erasing the hook. Boop, hat drops. No identification now. And the seeing is more clean, because there's not an I that's out there grasping and wanting and needing anything to be a certain way. Because all concentration is on you, that center. And you are the center of the world. The world is coming around and you're just there. Again, we talked about the train. Very nice experience, because you're seated on the train. World is rushing by outside. All these scenes are going, 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 going. And you're not involved with any of it. Even as a train stops, you look out the window to the train station, but it's just an observation. There's nothing, like there's no you in that.
Yes,
And then you're moving, and yet you're not moving.
yes, yes.
Like the scenes are literally being presented without you moving.
Yes.
And this is the reality. When you remain with yourself, with self, it's like being on a train where scenes are just appearing and disappearing, and this is happening. You do your job, do your duties, whatever. But it's not, there's no like need to create a you into the scene as you. Even this body, you're not so aware of being a separate body because there's no body impressions of identification with a flow of thoughts and this pressurization of believing of being a body. You're quite free.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
it's much, much nicer than
Yes.
trying to believe you're a body that needs something.
This, that's where, and that's what I experienced. Without, there was fear when I first came up with the idea of traveling. Then, once I got into it, the fear, it just like, there was no body there. So there was no fear. It was just happening, you know, and it's just really, yeah, it was just the end of fear
Absolutely.
for that time, you know, for that time.
Right.
Yeah.
It
But
somehow seems, still, it somehow seems to be me, or some kind of, like, maybe not my me, but some kind of me, you know?
well, existence. You cannot deny that you exist.
Yes.
You're just trying to identify with a body form as an individual that's
Yes.
existing rather
Yes.
than just I exist.
Yes.
There's a sentence in Das Bodh that really kind of like the realized person gives up even the wanting to be and the wanting to know. There's a surrender. There's no desire to be. And that most basic is just to be, you know, like to, I guess, to exist. And then to know, there's no desire to know. And that's really is, yeah. I mean, when I get sick, the first thing I do is I run to the doctor, you know. That desire is very deep.
Well, you take care of the body.
Yes. Yeah.
You have some kind of body-based problem, you
Yeah.
go to the body-based illusion and get a solution for that body-based problem. And yet, now, if a doctor said, I'm sorry, Andrew, this is like, and I'll use myself so it's not morbid. I'm sorry, John, that you only have a couple months. Then it's, oh, this is body. And this body is a rental. It's only for short time.
Yeah.
But the formlessness that's holding the body and believing itself to be in a world, that I am not. Like I am not this body. I'm not the body. I'm not the name of John. The doctor cannot diagnose me that I am. And
Got
me
it.
is kind of a weird word to use, but that I am, the doctor is not diagnosing. He cannot.
Right.
It'd be
Exactly.
like diagnosing the space. Space, you're going to be gone in 3 months. No. And yet, something happens to the body. Okay, you can go take care of your body. Do your job, do your duties. Family responsibilities, okay. Friends, certainly you can go and enjoy friends and all this sort of thing. But at the same time, there's just not a personalization of anything because there's no identification with the body form. It's as if these eyes are just now, of course, there when shaking hands or something like that, there will be a sensation that they're shaking hands, but even that is not a like you can look at your hand and absolutely know. Like there's no relation between this hand and myself. It's an instrument.
Yes.
Like I look at my car.
Yes.
Oh, my car's so nice. I get it washed. I take care of it. I just had brakes put on the front of it because I wanted to operate in the most nice condition. But never am I like identified as my car. Or do I lose myself and say, oh, that car is part of me, even though I'm
Yeah.
inside this car? And if I'm inside the car and the car gets scratched, I am in no way affected. And yet the outer layer will need fixing of some sort.
Would you say the I am is the same I am for every being?
Yes.
There's just one you are.
Yeah.
This sense of existence you can feel through body form. As the sense of presence, the I am, the I exist, just I. But the one that's feeling this feeling is not like in any way individual. That it's not,
Yeah.
it's not.
It's selfish, because it's the self of everything, I guess.
Well, and if you even want to say, okay, universal consciousness. I'm identified with a body, so I believe individual consciousness, universal consciousness. Now I say I'm not identified with a body, but there's a flow of thoughts within universal consciousness that I identify with as formlessly. This is me and my thoughts, even though there's a concept of formlessness. This is not yet that. And then you say universal consciousness, because if there's no body, then there can't be the concept of consciousness of individual here, like thinking, like, oh, these are John's thoughts and these are somebody else's thoughts. Then you get a little bit deeper, and universal consciousness is basically the world. And yet, consciousness or no consciousness, you are. And that's why we mentioned, if the entire world just blew apart. Okay, end of days. Boom, blows apart. You're not affected at all. Same as
You
if in a
can't
dream.
really objectify that self or that.
No. When you start looking for yourself within yourself, as Maharaj says, you go deeper and deeper and deeper in your selfless self. It's a very fun experience because there comes a point where there, you may. Still identified with body and mind, or mind on the spiritual search, you may kind of consider it like a Russian doll, the awareness of awareness of awareness of, but when you're actually remaining with your selfless self, that's it, game over.
Nothing but present.
Because where all experience ends, there you are. And you can't label that like. The absence of all things, and yet because, and yet all things appear.
My mind wants to say, well, everything is coming out of me. And it's almost like the experience, that's sort of a description of experience, but still that's conceptualizing it. And then.
Well, and the me, that's the problem. That's why even earlier when I said, I am that, or I said something about me, and me is kind of like there's no way it can't be personal. We say I, universal I is I. Like I am that. But me is really kind of a personalization. We can sit there and try to conceptualize I and make it a personal I by our own sort of flowing along with the thoughts and I hate the word, but Sinharmesha Maharaj all the time uses it. Ignorance. Because of my ignorance, my I is not, I have the concept of I rather than I.
It just sucks. Sometimes it sucks me into the, well, it does. It sucks me into, feeling according to that concept rather than,
And the concept tossed aside? Because just right now, just you start to feel the sense of presence. And from the sense of presence, by awareness being aware of this sense of presence, Now there's like a void and nothing. And yet the nothing is known, so we can forget about that. But the knower, here no concepts can be. It's prior to words.
Oh.
Words came along with the body. Because words stir within this, what we call mind, and then go out the mouth and we're spoken. But you're prior to words because you're prior to anything. This presence, even this sense of existence, appeared. And when that
And
sense of
then
existence, quote, disappears or is no more, you very much are. And you can't say anything about that because there's not enough of anything there to try and conceptualize. And even when you conceptualize, the concept will be dissolved within your own self. It's just nothing, and not the concept of nothing. You know, because like a lot of people used to think that if they die, they go into just a void. They're aware, but they're in a void. And
Where do you find the
no.
void? You can't find the void.
You know, like if I heard somewhere something had said about they were happy to know that when they witnessed a death for the first time, that the breath went out because they thought, oh, if the breath is a life force and it's trapped within the body, then like you might be aware of all the things that are happening to the body, even though there's no ability to communicate or anything like this. Again, all this is conceptual and only in the body-based delusion.